This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this. You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
Host Dan Keller in studio with you today, Friday the 13th. Is that right? Is it the 13th today? By all measures, it is. Friday the 13th here in Waterloo, also in Kitchener, and I'm sure across much of the world it's the same day. Big show for you. Lots of fresh stuff right from the old streets, or we'll call them because of the old streets, right from the old courts. Of course, there was sentencing today for Mandy Hiscox, an amazing person and great organizer, and sentenced for organizing protests to the G20, straight up, for counseling. The organizing of protests to the G20, even, it seems, by the statement facts. Lots from hers today, including the judge interrupting her 8 times during her statement to the courts. Not to say, you know, you've gone too far, but to debate her. It was ridiculous. He was talking about respect the whole time. Whatever. Anyways, we're going to kick it to a tune real quick. Get everything loaded up on the computer. We're going one from a Byron. I've been listening to Byron all week, and it's been great. It's been a great week. So I don't know what else to say. We're going to go with The Battle of Marv. This one's for Mandy from me. The song is by Byron from the album Sad Campfire Songs here on AWOL Radio.
June 4th, 2004, this story I will retell. A Marvin John here, my road on through hell. Marv told his friends just what he was planning to do. Mm-hmm. Some thought him hero, somewhere they thought him a fool. Marv built his kilt-o's, he climbed on down inside. He lowered the steel shell and took it out for a ride. Destroyed all the police cars, the buildings which stood in his way. For the police and the council, today was their judgment day. Kilt-o's got stuck. Marv took his arm and lied. His soul was at peace now, having done what he felt was right. Destroyed all the police cars, the buildings which stood in his way. For the police and the council, today was their judgment day. Oh, cinnamon, we're gonna run to run, cinnamon. We're gonna run to run, cinnamon. We're gonna run to all on that day.
All right, that was Byron from Sad Campfire Songs, The Battle of Marv, going out to Mandy Hiscox. We'll get back to G20 Resistance News and a lot more. First, we're going to start today's show with the Smash the State Report, December in Review, from the Dominion News from the Grassroots. That's dominionpaper.ca. The United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women announced that it will launch a formal inquiry into the conduct of the Canadian government and the federal and provincial agencies concerning the murder and disappearances of more than 600 women across Canada in the past several decades. A disproportionately high number of the victims are of Indigenous heritage. The only other formal in-country investigation undertaken by CEDAW since its creation in 1982 occurred in Mexico in 2003-2004 in response to the murders of women in the state of Chihuahua. The Union of BC Indian Chiefs and the BC Civil Liberties Association applauded the decision, but no official response has been issued by the federal government. That same Harper government added more hardware to its trophy case, earning its fifth consecutive Fossil of the Year award for its prehistoric performance at the Durban Climate Conference. The Canadian government in action has led to it being consistently singled out as a laggard, even a pariah in these negotiations, said Chris Bisson, Canadian youth delegate at the Durban negotiations. The Harper government appointed a third-party manager to oversee finances for the community of Attawapiskat. The Attawapiskat First Nation was meant to pay upwards of $1,300 per day for this service. The Cree community of about 1,800 people made international headlines and attracted the attention of the United Nations after a YouTube video showed families living in tents and shacks with no running water or insulation. Aboriginal People's Television Network obtained documents, including an enrichment report that validate years-old claim by the residents that sewage backups caused by international diamond company De Beers are at least partly responsible for the history of housing crises in Attawapiskat. Manitoba Treaty Relations Commissioner James Wilson of Opsquayak Cree Nation said the situation in Attawapiskat is symbolic of mistrust and trouble in the relationship between First Nations and the Crown, unquote. Continuing, where government on the top, First Nations on the bottom dependency is based on the Indian Act. And First Nations communities can't do anything without the approval of the Minister of Aboriginal Affairs and Northern Development Canada. As a side note to the Dominion, that minister is a racist. Carrying on. Amidst the holiday spending frenzy and the sobering days thereafter, the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation issued a report noting that Canadians took on record debt and currently owe about $1.50 for every dollar they earn. Sounds about right. L3 Electronic Systems, with 170 employees in Nova Scotia, has teamed up with Elbiet Systems Land on a bid to bring two military contracts to Nova Scotia. The first bid is for the weapons system for Canada's new design of armored land attack vehicles. Elbit is Israel's top weapons manufacturer, responsible for such atrocities as the Palestinian Separation Wall and the Hermes 450 drone, which is responsible for much of the carnage of the 2008-2009 siege on Gaza. Sales of the UN... why did I say UN? Let's start this again. Sales of Canadian-made surveillance drones to Libyan rebel forces may have violated UN's arms embargoes. The government has called on the RCMP to look into the matter, although it is not clear what the RCMP is being asked to investigate. Nor could they find a beer in a brewery. More than 5,600 people were arrested across North America in relation to the Occupy movement, and physical occupation spaces were wiped out of major cities. This is in December, of course. On the West Coast, a powerful Occupy the Ports movement blocked port traffic on December 12th in Oakland, Los Angeles, Tacoma, Seattle, San Diego, and Vancouver. Elsewhere, an Occupy Foreclosed Homes movement emerged in major American cities, where occupiers assisted former homeowners in at least temporarily reclaiming their living spaces. That's amazing. Hope they keep that up. Tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets in Russia as independent monitors roundly criticized the national elections, which saw Vladimir Putin re-elected as president, as being rigged. Mikhail Gorbachev, former leader of the Soviet Union, called for the election results to be declared void. Alexei Navalny, the anti-corruption blogger who spent most of early December in a Russian jail, is being proclaimed one of Russia's promising new potential leaders. $9 million was slated to be spent on permanent barricades at Parliament Hill in 2012. $9 million, what are they going to be made of? The pre-trial of Bradley Manning, the man suspected of leaking the U.S. diplomatic cables and the Iraq war logs released by WikiLeaks, wrapped up in makeshift military court at Fort Meade Army Base in Maryland. Manning has been held in solitary confinement since July 2010. The U.S. Army's legal team argued that Manning's behavior has damaged American national security, that he could face a court-martial, and that there is enough evidence to now force the extradition of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. David Coombs, Manning's lawyer, argued that the U.S. government is greatly overreacting in trying his client and that Manning has brought no harm to national security. Quote, "This guy has not fallen, is not falling, and will not fall," said Coombs during the trial. The state of Pennsylvania announced that it will not pursue the death penalty against Mumia Abu-Jamal, convicted of the 1981 murder of police officer James Faulkner. Instead, Abu-Jamal will receive a life sentence without the possibility of parole, so people will have to break him out of jail with bulldozers. 3/4 of voters within the Tunisian parliament opted to elect as president formerly exiled activist Moncef Marzouki. Among parliamentarians, a strong minority left their ballots blank in protest, quote, "We wanted a strong president, not laws that overly favor the prime minister and give the position tremendous powers. We refuse to vote for a president without a limited mandate," said Samir Betabi, one of several members of the assembly who were skeptical of how temporary the interim government really is. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, released a report concluding that natural gas wells controlled by Calgary-based natural gas giant Encana were responsible for contaminating drinking water in Wyoming. Encana, a major player in the hydraulic fracturing, publicly denouncing the EPA's findings and the methods by which they were reached. The EPA refused to back away from its findings. Encana stock tumbled throughout the course of the month. Real Canadian treasure there, Encana. Yeah, real gem. December 2011 saw the U.S. finally withdraw its forces from Iraq. Some see this as a sign of American weakness. Others read this as a precursor to further Middle East power moves. The 8-year war has cost billions of dollars, tens of thousands of lives, and has contributed to crippling the American economy. A whole bunch of things that are wrong in that last sentence. It's probably cost trillions of dollars, has cost hundreds of thousands of lives, and has contributed to expanding the military-industrial and prison complex for the American economy. Back to the Dominion Papers, December in Review. American Secretary of State Hillary Clinton visited Myanmar, also known as Burma. It was the first visit to Burma by such a high-ranking member of the American cabinet in over 50 years. In mid-October, more than 200 Burmese political prisoners were freed, which has led to a flicker of hope that the U.S. might relax sanctions against Myanmar. Amnesty International notes that Myanmar still holds 1,000 to 2,000 political prisoners who should be released immediately, according to the International Human Rights Watchdog Organization, and not as part of a process. Finally, North Korea's great leader, quote-unquote, Kim Jong-il, has died. American food aid to the country was put on hold despite pleas from North Korean officials. As the exact makeup of a successor regime was solidified, Kim Jong-un, Jong-il's youngest son, was later proclaimed supreme leader of North Korea. The country's New Year's resolution was to become a powerful and prosperous nation in 2012. And that is this December in Review on the Smash the State Report here on AWOL Radio 100.3 Sound FM, Waterloo, Ontario. We're gonna play some more Byron, and you might hear it in the background, but I'm restarting this song.
Our determination has to be harder, our heart has to be keener, our mind has to be greater, as our power gets to be less.
Until then, keep your eyes, keep your nose to the ground. They might catch the side of the line, your eyes will shoot you down. I remember your hair swimming in the breeze, now caught in the grips of some dumbass police. It breaks my heart. Hold your body down, put your head to the ground, waving the rifles around, and they shouting all around, keeping you down, keeping us down. We might throw a stone, so you leave them alone. Those defending their homes, so they'd probably break their bones, and I don't know how stop this from going down. So until then, keep your eyes, keep your nose to the ground. They might catch the side of the line, your eyes will shoot you down. I remember your hair swimming in the breeze, now caught in the grips of some dumbass police. It breaks my heart. With arms open wide, oh, they send in a spy, they share what they have, you take what they have, and they take, take and they lie. shoot you down. I remember your hair swimming in the breeze, now caught in the grips of some dumbass police. It breaks my heart.
All right, that was Byron's Breaks My Heart. Breaks a lot of people's heart. Sure does. Get back to the Smash the State report. We have lots to go through, and then gonna cut it, and then we're gonna go to a big G20 update. First, we got a quick little soapbox, I guess, from the Strombo show, but it makes a lot of sense. So please listen up.
Hey Canada, I'm Wab Canoe. I know I'm not your boyfriend, but wouldn't mind being your man on the side. But for this thing to work, there's 5 things you're gonna have to stop saying about my people. First thing, alcohol. The big thing that separates us here isn't the alcohol, it's the poverty. Because when a non-native person passes out, they do it at a curling club or at a Nickelback concert. But when a native person does, they do it on the street, which is shameful, but oh so comfortable. Then there's this whole idea of get over it. You know, why don't you guys just get over it? You know what? I am over it. My dad was raped in a residential school by a nun. I'm over it. But it doesn't mean that we should forget it. Then there's the long hair thing. You know, some Aboriginal people do wear their hair long as a symbol of cultural pride. Those are the natives with beautiful, long, straight hair. For curly-haired Ojibwe such as myself, hair clippers have been the greatest invention of the white man since the mirror. Then I often hear this question. What are you guys doing with the $7 billion? The $7 billion we give Indian Affairs, what are you guys doing with it? You know what? That money has to pay for a population the same size as New Brunswick. You know what New Brunswick spends on their population? $8 billion. And yet I never hear Canadians ask, hey, New Brunswick, what are you doing with your $8 billion? Finally, one of your favorites, taxes. Guess what? I'm a status Indian. I pay income tax. I pay sales tax. I once even paid a land transfer tax. Ironic. It's all part of a much larger stereotype that Aboriginal people in Canada are getting a free ride. 140 years after the treaties, we're still waiting for the things that we were promised in those agreements to share the land. So I ask you, who's really getting the free ride?
Called the Soapbox. I guess it's on the Strombo show. I wasn't aware of them beforehand, but that was Rob Gnew. Putting it out there, laying it down. It's pretty undeniable there. You can check that out on YouTube, a bunch of other places. Of course, a lot of that is apparent in the inherent racism of the colonial state, the stereotypes that people play up. The judge in the Mandy case today, he brought that up. He brought up the idea that we usually paint our enemies with derogatory names when we want to other them to make it easier for ourselves to take them out. And that's what the Canadian government has attempted to do in their project of colonization. It's not working, though. Little more in this one. Little follow-up to a report we gave, must have been about 6 months ago on AWOL Radio. Nothing too surprising here. The U.S. National Longitudinal Lesbian Family Study just released its results on its 24-year-long study on families with lesbian parents, finding out that not one of the 78 adolescents in the study had reported being sexually or physically abused by their parents. This compares to 26% of American adolescents who report parents or caregiver physical abuse. 8.3% report sexual abuse. Additionally, only 2.8% of the adolescents in the study identified themselves as gay. Apparently, the majority of them didn't so-called catch their parents' gayness, as some would have you think. While I hate the idea of showing proof that lesbian and gay couples are capable of raising healthy families, these kinds of studies are critical in breaking down the myths that are constantly being perpetuated by anti-LGBT culture. If you want more, check out the NLLFS. They got a website. And I recognize why we're re-reporting on some of this, or on this piece, because it was from a while ago. I just found it again. Really good reaffirming nonetheless, getting rid of some of that hate, some of that othering that is done to all people that don't match the status quo in this nation state here. Really cool project going on, helping to smash the state and bring down the walls. It's CFRC Prison Radio. Check it out on cfrcprisonradio.wordpress.com. It's they have one area called Calls from Home. Calls from Home is a CFRC radio show and monthly radio segment that connects friends and family with their loved ones behind Kingston's prison walls through the power of community radio. Friends, family, and anyone supporting those incarcerated can call their toll-free number from anywhere in Canada and leave a voicemail message to their loved ones. All messages will be broadcast on the airwaves on the last Wednesday of each month from 7 to 8 for those behind prison walls to hear. You can tune in if you're around Kingston on 101.9 FM or CFRC.ca. The CFRC radio signal carries into 7 prisons in Kingston area and 1 in New York State. They seek to provide messages of love and support to those behind prison walls. If you have a loved one you wish to send a message, please call their toll-free number. It's 1-800-440-5219. And record a free greeting, song or request, or play or sing one yourself, or a poem, and let them know you are thinking of them. You can also email in your messages and requests to cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net or write them a letter. If you want to call this line once again, this Calls from Home line to support those in the Kingston area prisons, 1-800-440-5219 and leave them a voicemail message. And check out this project, cfrcprisonradio.wordpress.com. I really like this project. I think it's required locally. We got jail here. People on the inside need to know we're around. There's a big demo New Year's Eve in a bunch of jails across Canada, a bunch across the world, a bunch here in Southern Ontario. But ongoing support, not just one-time, one-offs. Ongoing support, I think we need to implement. And good on CFRC Prison Radio out in Kingston. One other piece. Until I get into a big... I'm going to cut to a song after this last piece. And then go big environmental section. Not a big one. A bit of one. We'll call it a bit of one. From English Contra Info's website. Contra Info is a translation counter-information network. The world's revolutions translated into your language. Athens. Anarchists detained en masse after solidarity intervention in the commercial radio station for the revolutionary struggle case trial. In the morning of January 10th, nearly 20 members of the Solidarity Assembly for the case of revolutionary struggle, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek words for that, whose trial is currently underway, entered the corporate radio station Flash.gr on Kifasias Avenue and interrupted the station's program to transmit a message of solidarity with those on trial. Despite the fact that neither the station's management nor its staff asked officially any police intervention, scores of police, motorcycle units, squads such as MAT, plainclothes cops, among others, soon arrived on the spot and encircled the building. At about 1400, after hours of being blocked inside the radio offices, anarchists who took part in the solidarity intervention were detained en masse and taken to the police headquarters on Alexandros Avenue. Two prosecutors, along with police squads, stormed the radio station, forcing the comrades to exit the premises. All were handcuffed and held in police buses, while their mobile phones were confiscated. As soon as the news was circulated, anarchists gathered opposite the police HQ, where a solidarity protest of approximately 100 people is underway. A text released by the 20 detainees themselves. Today, January 10th, 2012, comrades from the anarchist anti-authoritarian space carried out an intervention in the corporate radio station Flash 96 FM in the context of a series of solidarity actions for the revolutionary struggle case, which was brought to trial since October 5th, 2011, in the special court of Corridalos prisons. We have taken this action in an effort to break the walls of silence in the political order to gag the trial process and the political discourse of the defendants in the revolutionary struggle case. A confirmation of this gagging was the immediate reaction of police forces during the broadcast of our audio message, with the words of the prosecuted for the same case. This mobilization of the executive and law enforcement authorities is indicative for anyone who resists, for whoever puts forward the total overthrow of the system through the social revolution, which is the only way to escape from the modern totalitarianism of the Trotskyists of the EU, ECB, and IMF, and their trustees, the Greek state, that have submitted the entire society in poverty and misery. A society doomed by the full dismantling of labor relations, the so-called Chinesization in front of the threat of more and more unemployment, people lining up in long queues, the onslaughts of predatory taxation, the dissolution of public benefit corporations, the privatizations, the selling off of public assets, and the development of financial zones on starvation wages. It is worth noting that under this treaty, in their bid to shield the system, and while everything is reduced and cut, the only thing that's increased are the armies of the watchdogs of democracy, armed guards, capitalism, and its state. Therefore, under this treaty, more commonly referred to as a junta, we are in solidarity and proud with our comrades and their choices. Our choices are side by side with all parts of society who choose the fair way of social liberation. Solidarity with Mazitios, Orupa, Gurnis, Stathopoulos, Nictopoulos, Cortesis, Beraha, and Katensos. No, said that one wrong for sure. Katsenos. And there was a big poster, or big banner that they held up inside the Flash radio station. Although it is likely most of the station's owners or even its security guards had notified some authorities about the presence of anarchists in the building, it has been reported that all detainees were charged in ex officio indictment, meaning that no call from the company staff was required for the prosecutors and cops to invade. Initially, it was feared that the charges may fall under Greece's third terrorism law. It seems, though, that all the comrades are charged with the misdemeanor of incitement to violence. They are now threatened to be held in detention and stand trial tomorrow, which got moved to today, actually. And we don't have any updates from today. But all 20 comrades have been released, but they their trial, as just mentioned, today is well over. Hopefully we'll get an update soon. All right, as promised, going to kick it to a song. Come back in a couple moments. I feel Antifa Hooligans is an appropriate song here for those warriors in Greece who are being attacked by the state. I also feel a Greek version of La Rage is appropriate as well. I'm going to look for that one first, and if we can find it, of course, that's a Greek version of the French song by Kenny Arcana, La Rage. And all I can find is Kenny Arcana's version. Of course, it's a French song, which we will play next time there are major French riots. And right now we're just going to play Antifa Hooligans by Los Fastidios here on Sound FM.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, Antifa. Come on, come on. come on. Come on, come on. Antifa.
To the Greek resistance. Welcome back here, AWOL Radio 100.3 Sound FM, Waterloo, Ontario. This is Co-op Radio Waterloo, AWOL Radio. Check us out on the web, soundfm.ca, peaceculture.org, Rabble Podcast Network, other such places. And I hope you're enjoying this wonderful Friday, the 13th. Wasn't all wonderful for everyone. We'll get to that in a little bit.